From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. United Airlines caught in severe turbulence right now. Outrage continues over the video of a man, face bloodied, being dragged by the arms down the aisle of an airplane, all to make room for airline staff to take his seat. Calls for boycotts are out there, so are questions about what exactly are passengers' rights. This hour on Point, the United Airlines PR nightmare and the agony of air travel today. You can join us on air or online. Have you seen the video? Can you believe what happened there? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me first today from Dallas is Justin Bachman, airline reporter for Bloomberg News. Justin, welcome to On Point. Great to have you.
Hi, Jane.
So here's the video taken Sunday by passenger Tyler Bridges. United Airlines passengers cannot believe their eyes as Chicago Airport Police drag the man along the floor and off the airplane.
Oh my God! Look at what you did to him!
Justin, describe for us what we're hearing in that video.
Well, that is a horrified cabin full of passengers who can't really believe what they're seeing. And, you know, at that point, the situation had just gotten completely out of control for United because of probably a series of decisions that had been made prior to that. And then it culminated in just in what's a public relations nightmare for the airline right now.
So describe for us exactly what happened. A couple of Chicago Airport police officers came onto the airplane and physically took this man out of his seat?
Right. Yeah. United was looking for four volunteers because they had staff that needed to be in Kentucky the next day for duty. So apparently they had gotten three volunteers by offering compensation for the seat, and they needed a fourth. And at that point, the person who had been selected, this gentleman from suburban Louisville, you know, did not want to leave his seat and had refused. And you know, because there's a lot of pressure on an airline gate agent to get that plane off the gate, because not only are you, you know, talking about a delayed departure and probably a delayed arrival, but you're also talking about duty time for people who need to work the next day. So they need to get where they're going as well, all the staff that's involved. So at that point, they just called the police because they said, sir, you need to move. And, you know, if you're not following that order, you know, the police will be called. But at that point, United had really lost control of the situation because, you know, in hindsight, a lot of people are saying, why did it ever get to that point? Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what, you know, the problem is now for the company.
So somehow that passenger, after he was dragged off the airplane, got back on the plane. And in this video published by ABC News on Monday, that man, that passenger, David Dow, is clinging to a divider in the aisle. His face is covered in blood from a broken lip, an injury he received during that initial struggle with the security officers. When the officers follow him back on the plane, he just tells them, kill me, just kill me.
Kill me, just kill me, kill me, just kill me, kill me.
Justin, how did he get back on the airplane?
Well, what we heard from the CEO in a letter that he sent to employees on Monday was that the man had sort of broken free and ran back onto the airplane after he was escorted off. And that's why the company had described him as belligerent and, you know, not following orders. So, you know, this man clearly wanted to be on that flight. And, you know, you're dealing with the situation at that point that's it's already out of control. So I think that's one reason that the United Communications team initially decided to let that CEO letter go public and wanted to let people know that, you know, this guy, in our view, was not following any orders and was acting in a way that was not consistent with, you know, proper airline etiquette. Mm-hmm.
So United CEO Oscar Munoz has apologized after a day of changing statements, I guess you'd say. This morning on ABC's Good Morning America, Rebecca Jarvis sat down with the CEO, Oscar Munoz. She asked him what he thought when he saw the video of a passenger being dragged off the plane.
It's not so much what I thought, it's what I felt. Probably the word ashamed comes to mind. you know, as I think about our business and our people, the first thing I think is important to say is to apologize to Dr. Dow, his family, the passengers on that flight, our customers, our employees. That is not who our family at United is.
And then he was asked whether he believed Dr. David Dow, the passenger who was removed, was at fault here.
No, he can't be. He was a paying passenger sitting on our seat in our aircraft. And no one should be treated that way, period.
That is, Justin Bachman, a different reaction from the first statement that we heard from the CEO.
No, absolutely. United did a complete, 180-degree turn between Sunday night and Monday, and then what we saw coming out yesterday. The public relations crisis had really, I think, caught them by surprise by the magnitude of it across the world. So what happened was there was just a complete reversal in thinking, and Oscar Munoz had become completely contrite. There were no more statements about how the passenger may or may not have been acting. There were no more sort of portrayals of his behavior on the airplane. Because I think also what changed was that the first statements that we saw were really about, the company was talking to employees and they wanted the employee base to know that, hey, we're with you and we're not going to throw anybody under the bus here who works for United. That might have made sense internally, but it completely, fell flat in the public arena, and the public did not take well to that at all.
No, they did not. And so, videos of this incident were, they blew up all over social media. Tell us the reaction online.
Yeah, it was just a huge reaction. I think everybody was a little bit surprised, especially at United. And then in China as well. I mean, this was just a completely viral video in China because people there felt that, this man was being discriminated against because he was Asian. And, he may not even be Chinese. I think he's from Vietnam. But the reaction was just, hey, the Americans are really targeting this guy and look what's happening to him. And that's a problem for United. Mm-hmm. They have a huge business in China. They are the leading U.S. airline in terms of capacity to mainland China.
Let's go to China for a moment here. We now know that the passenger who was taken off, Dr. Dow, is Vietnamese-American, but there was a lot of outrage in China, where United, as you say, has a large presence. It's the largest U.S. air carrier. Joining me now from Shanghai, China, is Rob Schmitz, NPR's Shanghai correspondent. Rob, welcome back to On Point. Great to have you.
Thanks, Jane.
So give us a sense of the reaction in China.
Well, this video went viral faster than nearly any other that I can remember in recent memory here. After hours of appearing on Weibo, one of China's most popular social media sites, one of the posts of the video had already 500 million views. That's a billion with a B. Mm. And that was just one video attached to a single hashtag. So when you consider hundreds of other online sites were playing this video inside of China, it's fair to assume that many people in China saw it.
So 500 million views. What are people saying online?
Oh, there's, hundreds of thousands of comments of what you might expect. Some of them are like, I think one of them said, is this an example of America's so-called human rights? Does he deserve this simply because of his skin tone? There were a lot of calls to boycott United Airlines. And I think it's important to point out here that not only were people responding to this feeling, this history of racism against Asians in general inside the United States, but they were also responding to China's own history of mm-hmm. foreign countries bullying China around. The Chinese still talk about their century of humiliation, as they call it, with the West and Japan occupying China. So those feelings of being victimized because of your nationality or your race is something that is always just sort of simmering just underneath the surface in Chinese society. And when Chinese people see a video like this, no matter what ethnicity he is, I know that he was Vietnamese-American and not Chinese, these feelings of anger and frustration sort of rise to the surface really quickly.
There are calls for a boycott of the airline or to cut up United Airlines credit cards. I mean, tell us how popular United is in China. Rob Schmitz.
Well, as was just mentioned, United is one of the major U.S. airlines that actually does cross-Pacific routes to and from China between the U.S. and China. So, not only that, but China is the world's second largest aviation market. You know, this is growing faster than any other country. So China's a very important market for United, and an incident like this threatens that market share. But, you know, on the other hand, I can see many Chinese passengers sort of forgetting about this within a week or so, because, you know, airlines here in China are not known for treating their passengers very well either. And there are often scenes of people attacking flight attendants when flights are on the tarmac too long. So I think, you know, most Chinese, like many Americans, have a pretty fraught relationship with airlines in general.
Rob Schmitz, NPR's Shanghai correspondent. Thank you so much, Rob. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Justin, how did this end? Did the passenger get home? Has anybody heard from him?
What we learned yesterday was that the passenger was still in a Chicago hospital, according to a statement from two Chicago law firms that are said they're representing him, and they had a statement from Mr. Dow that was, you know, thanking his well-wishers and supporters after this incident.
Was there any explanation by United about why this happened and how they chose who would be bumped from the airplane?
We have not heard a lot about that process. What typically happens is that an airline, and not just United, but an airline, after they, you know, exhaust the supply of volunteers and need further seats, will do an involuntary process. And when it comes to that, United and other airlines typically look at the passenger list of, you know, how much did you spend on your ticket? Where are you going? Is there another flight later that day? Are you traveling with minors? What's your history with the frequent flyer program? So they really do assess of various criteria, but and so the people who paid the least are probably the ones who are getting the involuntary bump before those who paid more.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson, and for Tom Ashbrook, we're talking this hour about flying, overbooking, and your rights if you are booted from an airplane. You can join the conversation. Have you voluntarily given up your seat on a full flight? What did it take? What would it take? Follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. Big PR problem right now for United Airlines on this. Here's Jimmy Kimmel. Last night, actually this is Monday night, here's a parody advertisement for United Airlines.
We're United Airlines. You do what we say, when we say, and there won't be a problem. Capiche? If we say you fly, you fly. If not, tough.
Look at what you did to them!
Give us a problem and we'll drag your off the plane. And if you resist, we'll beat you so badly you'll be using your own face as a flotation device. United Airlines. You.
Oh, boy. Justin Bachman, airline reporter for Bloomberg News, is with us. And joining me now via Skype from Long Beach, California, is Brett Snyder, founder and author of the airline industry blog Cranky Flyer and president and founder of Cranky Concierge, travel air assistance service. Brett Snyder, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Jane.
So your reaction to this incident on the United flight?
Well, you know, I think it was the same reaction everyone had when they saw the video. It's hard to think about everything else that had occurred when you just see someone bleeding being dragged off of an airplane. But, you know, then the next question in my mind is always, well, what actually did happen and how did we get to this point? Because there had to be a way to avoid this.
Let's get a caller in here. John in Maynard, Massachusetts is on the air. John, welcome.
Oh, hi, Jane. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, you bet.
Well, I have to say, I don't know. Well, actually, I've had a slightly different reaction to this.
Okay.
The ejection of this man from the plane was unseemly, no question about it. Having to drag him out by his arms and his legs is just foolish. But I just wonder, what three other people deplaned without incident. And now, the way I had originally heard the story reported, the entire deplaning process was involuntary.
Mm-hmm.
A year earlier, a guest had said that three people had volunteered. But three people deplaned without incident. This gentleman seemed to think that he didn't have to or didn't want to, and behaved incredibly selfishly and childishly. I mean, granted, I wouldn't want to be dragged off a plane by my arms and legs. But I probably would have gone unhappily but I would have gone. I certainly would have negotiated maybe an upgrade on my next flight.
Yeah, but you would have gotten off that airplane. John, I hear you. Brett Snyder, there's a lot of that online. Here's Hans, who says, when you buy a plane ticket, you agree to follow all orders given by airline employees. This guy refused to do so. The crew was correct in calling the police. The way the police handled the situation was inappropriate, but that's on them, not United. What do you say?
Well, I mean, I think that is true. You know, if you are given orders by a crew member, then you should comply and you should get off the airplane. And you can argue at the podium afterwards. But arguing on the airplane is not going to get you a pass to stay on that airplane. So that's not going to help. But I think the bigger issue here and the bigger question is, why couldn't we have avoided this situation in the first place? It's so rare to have to have to pull someone directly off the airplane. Usually bumpings occur in the gate area.
I was going to say, usually you see this before everybody's boarded on the airplane.
Yeah, and this was just a strange situation where a crew came up at the very last minute that was needed to fly a later flight. Mm-hmm. And so they had to take passengers off. But, you know, when you're in that situation, you should be doing everything you can to get volunteers. You should be throwing more vouchers at people. You should be getting more creative at, possibly options you can offer them. Just do whatever you can to avoid having to involuntarily remove someone from mm-hmm. the airplane.
Sweeten the deal. Give passengers more incentive, right, to take another flight. Talk about how common it is to overbook or oversell flights at the airlines. And why do they do it?
Well, overselling is very common. It happens all the time. This actually wasn't a case of overselling, since this was just a last-minute operational need.
At first, United said that, right? And then they said that they
United
needed...
did.
Right.
So that was a self-inflicted wound there to some extent. But overbooking in general, flights are overbooked all the time. Airlines do it for a couple of reasons. One is that people do no-show for their flights regularly. And so the airline knows it has a certain number of seats, and as soon as that airplane takes off, they can't sell that seat again. So by overselling, they ensure they're able to fill more seats. It keeps fares lower than they would be otherwise, and it keeps more seats available for sale for the last-minute traveler who may need to get somewhere that could be frustrated otherwise. Most of the time, it doesn't result in someone getting bumped off the flight.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Maxwell on this from Boonville, New York. Hi, Maxwell. You're on the air. Welcome to On Point.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
I just had a comment about the airlines. I think it was just very disrespectful and just wrong, for them to wait until he was actually seated and then try to remove him from the plane. Well, apparently they did remove him from the plane. It just seems mm-hmm. very... illogical and just very inconsiderate of the airline.
But those are the rules, right? Maxwell, thank you for the call. Brett Snyder, if the airline says you got to go, you got to go. You buy a ticket, those are the rules.
Yeah, that's how it works. And you can say this was unfair, unjust, illegal discrimination. People, and I don't think any of that was the case here necessarily. We don't know. But, you can say all those things if you want, but it's not going to allow you to stay on that airplane. You're going to have to fight that elsewhere and, deal with it after the fact, because they're not going to let you fly when a decision's been made and a request has been made to have you get off.
Justin Bachman, this is not the first PR problem for United Airlines lately. A couple of weeks ago, United drew fire for asking a girl to change her leggings before a flight. Tell us what happened there.
Yeah, that was a case where there were two young women who were flying out of Denver on a I believe it was an employee pass. They were non-revenue travelers. And United has a dress code, as do many airlines, for when you're flying on this class of ticket, because they say you're representing the company and you need to have, this particular dress code. Those leggings apparently did not fit within the United dress code, and they were told to change. There was a passenger who was there, and social media, ergo, you have another situation where United appears to be, the bad actor in that case, when really they were just enforcing an employee dress code, as it were. Mm.
And then after this incident, this most recent incident of the man being taken off the plane, United shares dropped after all this, Justin. How has the airline been affected?
They did drop. And what was interesting is that actually the shares on Monday rose almost 1%. And then yesterday we saw the drop early in the day, but the shares recovered throughout the day. So it was down about 1.1% at the end. I haven't looked at what the stock's doing today, but thus far, you know, investing, the investor community has not had a really severe reaction to this incident. And I think that's because, you know, historically, we've got a lot of cases of where airlines have behaved badly, but the long-term business effect has just not been that severe. People, you know, they move on, they forget, the anger subsides, you know, and they just don't take a hit long-term.
Here's Michael in Newton, Mass. Hi, Michael, you're on the air. Welcome to On Point.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
So to me, the big issue here is really one around organizational culture. I mean, those employees clearly felt that they had no other choice but to call in law enforcement. And that's just a failure of process, but it's also a failure of culture. Mm-hmm. Because in the end, you know, you have to have employees that have the discretion to make the kinds of calls that are going to do the right thing for customers. And clearly these employees didn't. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, unless the culture changes, we should expect things like this to happen. I think to your previous, person you're interviewing's point, if there isn't a business impact, how likely is there to be really a sustainable change in the culture of the organization? Thank you.
Michael, thank you. What do you say to that, Brett Schneider? A failure of process, a failure of culture at United Airlines?
It's hard to know exactly, you know, how much of a part that played here. You know, gate agents have a lot of different responsibilities and duties. They're trying, there's a lot of pressure for them to get an airplane to push out on time. They have people that rolled up at the last minute saying, I need to be on this aircraft. So they're trying to do a lot of different things at once. You would hope that in a situation like that, they would still default to, okay, how do we settle this in the most equitable and peaceful way? But there's a lot going on, and it's hard to know if that's a cultural issue or if it was just, you know, we're overwhelmed and we're just doing our best right now, and our best ended up not being quite good enough to avoid the situation. But certainly, United has had a cultural issue. There's no question about that. And when Oscar Munoz was brought in as CEO, that was one of his big tasks, was to try and change it. And it seems like there has been a fair bit of progress on that front. But it's not easy to change the culture overnight of a big company like that.
Here's an interview again on ABC's Good Morning America. Rebecca Jarvis asking United Airlines CEO Oscar Munoz what went wrong on that flight where a passenger was dragged off the plane.
It was a system failure. We have not provided our frontline supervisors and managers and individuals with the proper tools, policies, procedures that allow them to use their common sense. They all have an incredible amount of common sense, and this issue could have been solved by that.
He then went on to say that as CEO, it's his responsibility to fix the system failure and believes it's possible to do so. Brett, are particular airlines better than others when it comes to bumping passengers or offering incentives, or, you know, are systems better at different airlines?
Sure. You can look at different airlines. They operate very differently. So JetBlue, for example, doesn't overbook. They do have denied boardings, however, because sometimes they have to substitute smaller aircraft and things like that. But when you look at the numbers, what really stands out to me is Delta. Delta has a ton of voluntary denied boardings, and those are the good ones. Those are the ones where they say, hey, we're oversold. Who wants to take a voucher? And people volunteer willingly and part ways, and everyone's happy. And Delta has a ton of those. But they have very few involuntary denied boardings. So what Delta is doing seems to be working in that they're able to oversell. They're able to get the benefits of overselling, but they're finding the people to volunteer.
Mm. Here's Bill in Everett, Massachusetts. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead. You're on the air, Bill.
Yeah. I think that this is demonstrative of a face-off between, you know, the individual consumer and large corporations. And it seems to me over time the balance has shifted in favor of large corporations. Mm. You know, I think that ticket represents a contract. You know, there's a contract between the person who buys the ticket and the airline that we're going to get you to your destination. And, you know, I remember back in the day there used to be an airline called Eastern Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a shuttle flight. And their advertisement was, you know, if that plane is full and you hold a ticket, we're going to honor our contract obligation. We'll roll out a whole new airplane to get you to your destination. Mm. And over time, the whole understanding of the relationship between consumers and large corporations has shifted to the point where now it's always the consumer who pays the price and never the corporation.
Bill, thank you. What a great point. Has it changed, Brett Snyder, this contract between customer and, you know, and the corporation? Maybe this is just a stark reminder that these days, you know, a seat isn't guaranteed until your flight is airborne, and tough luck.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of these rules that we're talking about, these have been around for ages. So this isn't a change in necessarily the legal or contract structure that's out there. The Eastern example in particular, you know, that was a time where fares were much higher than they are today. And of course, it was a different world back then before deregulation occurred in the industry anyway. But there is an insatiable thirst for low fares. And so the airlines have done everything they can to keep fares lower. And having an aircraft ready to go if there's one extra person, that's just not something that's sustainable in a cost structure that's trying to support lower fares.
Here's Hank in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Hank. You're on the air. Welcome to On Point.
Hey, I really enjoy you today. I appreciate you. Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
I would just want to say that if I was a passenger on that plane, I would be embarrassed to admit that I was on that plane. I think it says a lot about how technology and social media has created passive activists, that we think it's enough to pull out a smartphone and record a video of an injustice instead of actually doing something to help prevent it. Because if I were on that plane, I would be ashamed, because I would have known I could have prevented this. This is not a situation that escalated rapidly that could have been prevented. This is something that other passengers heard and saw and could have stood up and said, I'll give up my seat for this man.
It's an excellent point, Hank. Thank you. Justin Bachman, jump back in here. I mean, Hank talks about passive activism as this man is being dragged off. Nobody jumped up. Nobody gave up their seat. And that surely could have happened, Justin.
Yeah, he raises a great point. That could have happened. United had selected the passenger for the involuntary bump, but that's not to say that somebody else couldn't have stood up and maybe de-escalated that situation really, really quickly, which we didn't apparently see at the time. So I think he raises a good point.
Brett Snyder, your response?
Yeah, I agree with Justin on this. I mean, anyone at any time could have stood up and said, I'm willing to get off so that, you know, this man can go and see his patients tomorrow. But nobody did. That's not to try and shift the blame away from the airline or, you know, anything like that. But it's certainly something people could have done if they wanted to end the situation right there.
Here's Kaushik from Baltimore, Maryland. Hi, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Thank you. I have one comment, which is that we've had a lot of discussion in this program about business contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And my comment is that business contracts do not allow for uncivilized behavior. And what we saw in the video was essentially uncivilized and outrageous. That's my comment. my question is, would the Chicago police have done this to a white, blonde woman or man? Thank you.
You hear that around, Kaushik. Thank you very much. Justin Bachman, your response.
Well, I think the answer is probably yes. But at the same time, United had lost control of the situation because the gate agent had decided that the police needed to be there. And the police were there to remove the passengers. So, you know, I don't know that we were really talking about, you know, white or Asian as so much as the gate agent said, look, this plane is going to move. The captain probably said, this plane has got to move. Let's get on with it. But because the time by the time, when you get the police there, you know, you're really, it's out of your hands. It becomes a law enforcement matter. And, you know, United just had lost control by that point.
This podcast and the following message are sponsored by Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service you've heard about. Its mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to all. They support a more sustainable food system, set the highest standards for ingredients, and make it easy and fun to cook. You decide which recipes and how many meals you want each week. Change, pause, or cancel anytime. Learn more at blueapron.com/onpoint. Go now and get your first three meals free, plus free shipping at blueapron.com/OP.
Hi, it's Tom Ashbrook. Before we get back to the show, I'd like to ask you about you. At On Point, we want to learn more about our listeners with a short survey. It's anonymous, it's easy, it'll just take a couple of minutes to complete. If you'd go to wbur.podcastingsurvey.com to complete the survey right now, we'd really appreciate it. That's wbur.podcastingsurvey.com. This survey will be really helpful to us, so thanks.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking this hour about flying, overbooking, and your rights if you are booted from an airplane. You can join the conversation. Are you ever not on a flight that is totally packed, where they're not looking for people to take a later flight? Follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. Justin Bachman, airline reporter for Bloomberg News, is with us from Dallas and from Long Beach, California. Brett Snyder is with us, founder of Cranky Flyer and Cranky Concierge. I wanted to play this film clip from the 1980 satirical parody film Airplane. A woman has a panic attack, a long line forms to calm her down, and everyone from a flight attendant to a doctor takes turns yelling at and slapping her. Here is that scene.
Stand it anymore. I've got to get out of here. I've got to get out of here.
Calm down. Get a hold of yourself.
Stewardess, please let me handle this.
Calm down now. Get back to your seat. I'll take care of this. Calm down. Calm down. Get a hold of yourself.
Doctor, you're wanted on the phone.
Well, maybe funny in film, not so funny in real life. A lot of listeners writing in about this. April says, I'm speechless. I'm outraged. Josh says, even if they were well within their rights, United didn't even think that this was the best approach. Did they think that this was the best approach in this day and age of social media? And then to have the CEO double down. From our website, one listener says the reason that this has gotten people so upset is because it's a blatant graphic example of how rights don't actually protect you. And finally, Ed says United struck a nerve. So many little things about flying and airlines have accumulated to make this incident a flashpoint. Let's go to Jessica in Beaufort, South Carolina. Hi, Jessica. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, in relation to the gentleman who was removed from the plane, you hear a lot about how when you buy your ticket, then that is actually you agreeing to the rules and what mm-hmm. have you. However, I don't think that that's good enough, because if airlines really did want to provide the greatest customer satisfaction, they could. They could do a blind offer when you check in where they give you, you know, a greater, you know, some customers get a greater discount opportunity than others. And that way they can kind of on a case-by-case basis call the people up and see if they're willing to come off the flight. I know in my own experience, I had a situation with United where due to, you know, bad inclement weather, flights got canceled. And it turned out that when the flights were resumed, there were empty seats going out in first class. And the reason why was because if you weren't willing to pay that premium price for the first class ticket, well, you had to basically stay, even though there were, in fact, seats available.
Mm-hmm. Jessica, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, Brett, it's an interesting day and age when, you know, travelers, every flight is packed, right? I mean, every flight is full. Every plane is jam-packed with passengers. There seems to never be an empty seat. It seems like the airlines have the algorithms down, you know, when people are flying, the times, the specific routes, the seasons. And yet, with all these full flights, they're still overbooking. Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The airlines have gotten much better at figuring out when to fly and, you know, the right size aircraft and all of that. Where 10 years ago, you know, the average airline filled maybe low 70% points of seats. Now they're up above 80%. Mm. So it seems like every flight is full. It's not. There are a lot of flights at off-peak hours that aren't full, but they're still much more full than they were. But at the same time, the number of denied boardings it's gone down as a percentage of total passengers. Mm. So they're filling more seats. They're denying boarding to fewer people. So they're actually getting better at this. But it's still an integral part of their business model to oversell, because you could have empty seats going if they don't do this and higher fares.
Justin Bachman, I want to bring up an important element of this story, at least an element of this story. A local newspaper reported some information about the passenger's history, that he was apparently convicted of multiple felony counts back in 2004. He surrendered his medical license in 2005. He resumed practicing medicine in 2015. There's been a huge backlash about the fact that that history was brought in here. What do you make of that? What do you say to that?
Well, I don't see how the history is relevant. In our stories, we have not discussed, that situation because it really doesn't pertain to what occurred on the United flight Sunday evening at O'Hare. I do know a lot of people have been talking about that, and there's been a lot of discussion, sort of media criticism about, the Louisville newspaper's decision to do that. And there was also TV reporting about that. Mm-hmm. But in our discussions about it, at my company, it's just not a relevant issue to the situation at United.
Let's get Bob in here from Stanford, Connecticut. Hi, Bob. Welcome to On Point.
Hi, thanks. Number three, they oversell because we overbuy. Neither side's got the moral high ground on that issue. Number two, the passenger's history or ethnicity is irrelevant. Frankly, I'm thankful to the guy for having engendered such a widespread discussion on these practices. Because number one, the real issue is the company's attitude towards customers. Exemplified, for instance, by your explanation of how they pick who to victimize. You know, it depends on how much we, the company, like you, how much you spend, how long you've been a passenger. The thing that the company doesn't understand is we are the customers. We give you our money so that you can have employees and stockholders. And it's particularly egregious because the people that they were trying to seat on the plane weren't even customers. They were employees. If you've got a problem shipping your employees to a needed location, guess what? You're in the air flight business. Go out and hire a Learjet. You've got other ways of getting your employees where you need them to be, or have them serve as substitute stewards and stewardesses. Mm.
Bob, thank you very much. Brett Snyder, jump back in here. I mean, Bob brings up a really interesting point. The fact of how you bought your ticket, your status in any rewards program, or even how early you checked into the airport, that all plays into your travel scenario and whether or not an airline could possibly bump you.
Yeah, it can play into that. They say that they use all these tools. We don't know exactly what goes into their algorithm in fact, but they have to make a decision if they need to involuntarily bump someone. And so they're going to try and give preference to certain groups over others. You know, first and foremost, if you're an unaccompanied minor, if you're a child traveling alone, you're the last person to have to get bumped off that flight. But even beyond that, they start thinking about status and ticket price, and it ends up actually being something of a game of musical chairs where the one left without a seat assignment in the end is the one who doesn't get on the plane.
Mm. Let's get Nancy in here from Jonesboro, Maine. Hi, Nancy. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Well, blaming the passengers for the policeman's bullying and physical assault is a very cynical take. This guy you have on there is supporting the airline's profits over the comfort of people. I just want to say that Nuremberg said that if rules or orders are immoral and wrong, one ought not follow bad rules. We can't just say, oh, it's a rule, oh, it's a rule. No, no. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Now, in today's world, becoming much less civil, where corporate profits take precedence over all of life, it seems, we have to stand our ground on morality. This was wrong, 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 wrong. The airlines have no excuse for this, and it should never be allowed to happen again. The government, which controls airlines, should sanction them to the tune of millions of dollars. Mm.
Nancy, thank you. Brett, I'll let you respond.
Yeah, thank you. This particular situation, it never should have gotten this far. But my only point before was that if you get into an argument with the crew on the aircraft, they're not just going to back down and say, okay, good idea, we're going to leave now. So there may be an injustice, there may be a morality issue at some point with some of these incidents, but you're not going to win that battle on the airplane is my only point there. But I will say, one of the things that we haven't talked much about, there's a lot of the blame being hoisted onto United, but you know, United called in law enforcement, as Justin was mentioning earlier, and then it's out of United's hands and it becomes a law enforcement issue. And it's the police that actually drag this person off the airplane. And so there's certainly that issue that should be discussed as well.
Justin Bachman, we're not hearing so much about the police and their responsibility. We're mostly hearing about United, right, Justin?
Right. Yeah. We're talking a lot about the responsibility that United ceded to law enforcement. You know, it is worth noting though, that the Chicago Aviation Department has put out two statements on that. And one of the officers has been placed on leave pending a review of this. Apparently whatever was done on the airplane by that official, was not following, you know, certain procedures that they have. So I think down the road, we're going to hear more about what occurred, or should not have occurred in that instance. To go back to what Brett was raising, this is a case that United should have handled on its own. And because the thing is, once you call the police, you know, you're stepping back and you don't have, you know, ability to control the outcome, mm-hmm. and it can just blow up, which is what they saw.
Nancy, thanks for the call. Here's Amy in Boston. Hi, Amy, you're on.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
The point I want to make is there's always a price point where people will raise their hand to get off the plane. And I think they got to $1,000 in the offer on this, but at some point they could have just done this by offering a better reward. Mm. Like, to exaggerate the point, if they had offered $5,000, people's hands would have gone up. So there's some point that they could have gotten to where this would have still happened voluntarily. Mm. And instead, they had this debacle, which is going to cost them much more money than the extra payment would have been in loss of revenue, people being discussed with the airline, bad PR, all of that.
Amy, thank you. It's a great point. Brett Snyder, airline profits as they are, how high should these incentives go? How high do they go for the airlines?
Oh, I agree completely with Amy. I mean, if in a situation like this where someone is on the airplane already, you should do everything possible to get someone to volunteer. Mm-hmm. And in theory, there's a time where you could offer $10,000 and everyone absolutely needs to be there and won't take it. But I think that's incredibly unlikely. You know, there had to be a way to resolve this when you already have people on the airplane.
But have you heard of sweetened deals up to, you know, $1,500 or more by airlines?
Sure. I mean, you see it go higher. You know, the rules for an involuntary bumping, those are federal rules, and they say you can be paid up to $1,350, depending on the value of your ticket and the length of the delay. But that's cash. And mm-hmm. for an airline to offer a voucher above that, they know that people won't use it sometimes. I mean, even if they're doing an economic analysis, they can look at that and make a justification to go higher. But that shouldn't even be the issue here. This is just a pure customer service, customer relations situation.
Let's get Sam from Charleston in here. Hi, Sam, you're on.
Hey, Jane, thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
So my comment is to a previous caller who said that smartphones were creating an atmosphere of passive activism, mm-hmm. I think were his words. So I think there's a bigger point at play. I don't believe people are just content to be passive activists at all. I think, and this is the reason I believe they all began recording, is they were fearful of the situation escalating to a point that deserved being recorded. Mm. And that's what we're seeing, which is pretty unprecedented, is just this immense amount of fear from people that if they act, if they say, mm-hmm. if they do, there's going to be a really strong repercussion for it. Mm-hmm. So rather than you know, blame people and say, oh, you're passive activists, I mean, really just, I think, take a look at the situation.
Got to walk in their shoes for a moment, Sam. Okay, thank you. Here's Graylin in Clearwater, Florida. Hi, Graylin, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, thanks. Go ahead.
I wanted to say thank you for taking the call. I used to work for United back in 2005. And it was scaring me and disappointing. You have passengers who've paid revenue individuals, and if you're going to try to remove a revenue passenger for a Space A, whether it's company business or whether it's personal travel, from a seat, mm-hmm. then to take a revenue passenger, that's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. Because when I was working for the agency, that company through the bankruptcy, that was unheard of. Mm-hmm. Because you have many other seats, you know, that the company employee, if it's a pilot trying to get to a misconnect, you know, so they can get another flight out, that's another issue. Mm. There are other mechanisms. They can put them on other planes to get them because they're partnerships.
Graylin, thank you. Our time is running short here. Brett Snyder, you know, Graylin talks about prioritizing passengers. Talk about, in these last couple of minutes, what a passenger's rights are on an airline today.
Well, you know, there are long legalese paragraphs of you can and can't do in the contract of carriage. But, you know, the airlines do have the right to remove passengers from flights for a variety of reasons. You know, it gets really complicated when the airlines are trying to serve both operational needs and customer service needs. And talking a little bit about what Graylin said, you know, you have an issue of partnerships here as well, that this was a United Express carrier republic that decided that this crew needed to fly on that airplane. You have United employees that are managing the flight trying to figure out how to get people off. And, you know, there are a lot of different hands in the cookie jar here trying to say, all right, who goes where and when and how does this work? And it's something that United needs to go and work out better with its partners to figure out, you know, how do we make sure this doesn't happen again, that you don't just send someone up at the last minute to get on an airplane.
Justin Bachman, what's the damage to United's brand here, to its reputation?
Well, I think it's a huge reputational blow in the short term. The bigger question is going to be, how long does that cloud sort of linger over the company in the consumer mind? And, you know, is that going to be a week, a month, or is it really something that dissipates quickly? And I think that that's one of the questions that we really want to follow, you know, next, as far as, like, how does the public respond to this as time passes?
Brett Snyder, quickly, longstanding PR problem for this airline?
Well, I'm sure they hope not, but time will tell. There's been a big backlash. We just don't know yet.
Brett Snyder, founder and author of the airline industry blog Cranky Flyer. He's president and founder of the travel air assistance service Cranky Concierge. Really appreciate your thoughts and your insights. Brett, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
And Justin Bachman, airline reporter for Bloomberg News. I really appreciate you being here, Justin, today. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Jen.
And you can continue the conversation, listeners. Get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. Happy travels, everyone. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. ¶¶